WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
All right, welcome back in hour number two of the program here on Tuesday morning. And we were talking about yesterday's discussion with New Bedford City Council President Shane Burgo and this this issue going on with the council. But let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're next on WBSM. Thank you for your patience.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Good morning, Tim.
How are you?
You know, it was mentioned by Chris that it was Linda Morad's personal email that was sent out to all the councilors.
It was,
she sent it out to Chris too.
McCarthy. It was actually a text message. And she didn't send it to Chris McCarthy. He got it a different way.
But it was her personal, right? It wasn't on city, it wasn't city communications. It was her personal text, correct?
Yes. Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it was, I don't know if it's a city, I don't know if they have city issued
phones. It wasn't on city business. That's the point. That's an important point I want to bring out. Our city has so many problems. Crumbling roads, numerous potholes. I mean, the whole city's riddled with them. An increase in shootings and murders. Homicides is a big problem. Lack of good-paying jobs. Many people are having a hard time finding job opportunities. We have an overwhelming amount of undocumented migrants, putting a strain on our public schools, on our hospital, many of the city programs. But this is what we're dealt with. We're dealt with infighting. And, Linda Morad calls the city council La Familia. It sounds a lot like Cosa Nostra. And this is the baloney we got to put up with. So if I'm a CEO of a major company and I send out my team to look at New Bedford, the politics, the crime, and the quality of public education, and then I find out it's got high property taxes and high commercial taxes, high water and sewer fees, electric and gas costs are through the roof, insurance costs, and then I look at the city council and the mayor. That's a big deterrent for the crime. That's a big deterrent for me not to come here. That's the problem. We got bad leadership or lack thereof. That's where the big issue is. That's affecting all of us.
Well, I mean, I don't know how much the city council's, interpersonal relationships matter to a business that's coming in. I think you're right about taxes are first and foremost. That's what they're going to care about most. But
it matters if it interferes with city business and the people's business.
Yeah, I don't think so, because I don't think the council has enough power for them to be concerned about what the council thinks.
Some people are calling, some councils are calling other councils sleazers.
I think that
that matters.
I think that kind of happens in a lot of communities, believe it or not.
Well, we have a crime. I mean, the mayor was talking about the state of the city address how crime numbers are down, and he's using the hierarchy rule. And when he came on with Chris, I asked him about it. He's using it. Well, so it's giving you a low ball figure, and those numbers are submitted to the FBI, and they go by that. And it seems like the city is a lot safer than what it is. It's a false sense of security. We have a city that has a lot of issues.
I don't agree that the hierarchy rule is a false sense of security, because it's still the most serious crime that's being counted. I don't care about
the
breaking
all the crime numbers.
I don't care about the breaking and entering if somebody went in and committed a murder. I care about the murder.
Well, a crime is a crime. If your house got busted in or your apartment, that would matter to you, wouldn't it?
And if that was the crime, then yes, it would be counted. But if they busted into my house and murdered me, then I only care about the murder.
If you got one criminal and I've heard you complain about
the hierarchy rule for years, but you don't understand it. You don't understand what the hierarchy rule is. You criticize
it. You don't understand it?
No, you don't understand it. You criticize it because you think it's a way.
To a New Bedford police officer, a veteran.
Doesn't mean you understood it.
What they do is, what some of these cases do, they leave it as under investigation so it doesn't get counted as a crime. FBI, well, obviously you don't understand it.
I think it's
going to get mad with me because I'm an old guy that's watched CNN.
No, that's not why I'm getting mad at you. I'm getting mad at you because when I'm trying to talk to you, you keep talking over me.
I keep talking over you?
Yeah.
Well, you're trying to tell me that I don't know what I'm talking about. And I'm telling you,
I'm saying you don't understand the hierarchy rule if that's what you think is going on.
The hierarchy rule is if you got a criminal with a rap sheet, let's say he commits 20 crimes, they take the most egregious and they count it as one crime.
Right.
Rather as 20 individual crimes.
But
you're not getting the whole picture.
But what does it matter?
The mayor, once again, the mayor's not giving us the total picture. And I think the reason why Police Chief Paul Oliveira left, because he probably was being micromanaged and he wasn't let to do his job and create and count the crime numbers, report the crime numbers as they exist. I think there's a lot behind that we're not being told by John Mitchell.
Do you think that when he took the job, if that was the case, he would have known that that's what was going to happen, right?
Maybe he didn't. We're assuming that. That's conjecture.
Well, he was the deputy chief under Joseph Cordero, who you would probably say was also micromanaged and controlled by the chief.
One of the reasons why he left too.
Well, I'm just saying, if you knew that when you took the job, then
I'll give you an example.
You got what you expected.
When Cordero was the police chief who was supposed to come in front of the city council, he had told Brian Gomes he would show up. And then Brian Gomes got a phone call and said he couldn't show up because it was a conflict of interest, because the mayor felt that the police union had Hank Turgeon show up, that the two of them would be a conflict of interest. And that was for the mayor. If you don't believe it, go back to your archives.
No, I remember that.
Right. I'm just saying we need better leadership. We need a city council that's going to work to put the city in the forefront. If not, it's going to be a city in decline. Just take a look around. Don't take my word for it.
All right. Thank you for the call. And let's take another call here, 508-996-0500. You're next on WBSM.
Hi, Tim. How are you?
Good. How
are
you doing?
All right. I think we should get, a collection for that man.
I don't want to insult other callers.
Well, not insult, but to send him away somewhere, because that's all he does is...
I know you've got an issue with him, and do you have another point to make?
No, I guess not.
All right. Have a good day.
Okay. All right.
508-996-0500. I just don't want to get into, let's not talk about other callers. Beat up on me. But the idea that, I think the gentleman made a lot of good points about what would keep a business from coming in. High taxes. You can say that the crime, the crime is factually down. You can come at me with all the anecdotal evidence that you want, but it's down. The other part of that is, though, how much does that matter to somebody who's coming into the industrial park or somebody that's coming into the advanced manufacturing campus when there isn't a lot of crime that happens at the golf course? Well, I mean, there's probably a lot of illegal gambling and, some cheating on scores, but I don't think that that's a high crime area. So I think, people are going to analyze a lot of different factors when they decide whether or not to come here to open a business. I don't think that the city council's interpersonal dynamics plays into that. If it rose to the level of, there was criminal activity or something, that might be something that would cause concern. But I don't think, one counselor not getting along with another counselor makes a difference, because that happens everywhere. Again, I'm not trying to downplay that it's not an issue. I'm just saying that, you can go try to find a million cities to try to build your business in or put your business in, and you're going to find things like that in every single one of them. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM. Where are you? There you are. There we are. Had to press the button twice for some reason.
And it was kind of scary because it was total silence. And I was like, okay, what's happening? Because I know things have been crazy over there for a while. So I just wanted to say, first of all, good morning.
Hello.
beautiful morning out. Temperatures are great. I didn't wake up cold. I had the heat off all night. I've been keeping it off for like the past week. So it was so nice to wake up and not be, you know, really cold. So, woohoo, spring's on the way. And I just wanted to say, you know, it's kind of fun. I mean, Chris is great at starting a fire. I call him my fire starter. That's how I refer to him when I'm speaking about him. But, of course, I do use his full name so people know, you know, who I'm talking about. But, and it's fun. I mean, Chris can really light up the phones, and it's fun. Everybody falls for it. And, you know, but right now I just feel like the whole thing is just really has gotten out of context. And the crime rate will not keep a business from coming here. Taxes will. Property taxes, business taxes. That's what will keep a company from wanting to come here. But, you know, like you see, a lot of major companies are leaving Rhode Island and coming here. So, you know, either not here to New Bedford, but, you know, within the state. But speaking of crime, so a woman got assaulted at a cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
That was horrific. Like, I don't know where that cemetery is. I was going to go to the grave today and go see my stepmom. And because her flowers are all blooming on that cactus, my Thanksgiving cactus. But like you said, it blooms twice a year. I never knew that. So I was really excited about it. It's bloomed. And I don't know. It just made me feel like I need to go see her. I just hope Mary's really safe on her walks and has some mace on her.
I think anybody that tries to attack Mary is going to be sorry they tried.
They're going to be in a world of trouble. But still, you know, you got to have your mace. So I keep my mace here for in the house, but I think I'm going to attach it to my keychain when I go to cemetery or what have you. And I wanted to ask you, do you know where there's an actual FedEx that you can walk into in the New Bedford or, you know, Fairhaven?
I'm not sure about a FedEx. The only one that I'm aware of is in Buzzards Bay. That's where I used to go for it. But there's a UPS store next to the station.
Yeah. Next to what station?
The radio station.
Oh, there's a UPS store there?
Yep. Two doors down from the radio station is a UPS store. That's where I get all my mail.
I've never seen it. I saw that new restaurant, well, sort of new, Bowlerama, is it called? What is it called? Where you get the good bowls? You had her on your show, as a matter of fact.
Oh, the SIE spot. That's over on the other side. So if you go the other direction, two doors down, next to the hair salon, next to Roots and Daisies, there's a UPS store here.
Okay. All right.
And they're very, very helpful over there.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask you, Tim, when are we going to get an update about our United Way family, her daughter with her palette?
Well, we'll have Victoria coming on in the next couple of weeks because we have the Spring Hunger Heroes food drop coming up. So when she comes on to discuss that, I'll make sure she brings us an update on the Mini Miracle family.
Oh, good. All right. Well, that's it. You have a great day.
You as well. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, 508-996-0500, app chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Let me take a quick break here, and we'll be back.
Ends are long. There's no going back. Two hands of steel and heart of stone. A limber day has come and
now, if I was in the car, I'd be singing along with this, but I'm not going to subject you to that. Because nobody wants to hear me singing along in Red Hill Town. All right, I won't do it. All right, take us to it, Bono. But I remember, a couple of years ago, I was filling in for my dad at his job. You know, he's kind of privately employed. So when he needs a day off, there's nobody to cover for him. So I learned how to do his job to help him out. And it involves driving around overnight. And I would listen to the U2 channel on satellite radio. And that song would come on and I'd just like be belting it out at 3 o'clock in the morning with the windows down and, you know, the nice warm air coming and just belting that song out. I'm sure if anybody heard me, they would have been like, shut up. Anyway, I got to tell you, so I've spent the last few days doing some spring cleaning and I've got, so I went through and took out all the clothes that don't fit me anymore, all the clothes that are too big, put them in bags to donate them. And then I also took all the clothes that I had all different places laying around and been like, oh, I forgot I bought that. I forgot about that. So I got to wash all these clothes now. And I'm just too busy to do laundry. If you're like me, Dash Laundromat has you covered with convenient on-demand delivery right to your door. That's right. They'll come, they'll pick it up, and they'll drop it off. You can choose from affordable pricing options with their very popular totes, these nice new brand new zip-up protect your clothes totes. A small tote up to 20 pounds is just $25, or go with the large tote up to 50 pounds for just $55. And you can make it even easier by subscribing to weekly service. They have subscription plans that give you the best value. The small tote, $89 a month. So for $89 a month, they'll come every week, pick up your laundry, do it for you, bring it back. All subscriptions include premium detergent, dryer sheets, and a softener. You got blankets, you got comforters, duvets. You can add those for just $10 more per item. And in fact, I just put fresh sheets on the bed, so I got some old ones to send over to have cleaned up and washed. Visit DashLaundromat.com or stop by One State Road in Dartmouth. Dash Laundromat, laundry made easy. You are going to get it done with Dash. Actually, they're going to get it done for you. You don't have to do any of it. That's why I love Dash Laundromat. Again, One State Road in Dartmouth, or check them out at DashLaundromat.com or just download the Dash Laundromat app. All right, let's go now into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Mike Roberts.
A new prime minister for Canada, protesters against Tesla in Boston, and not a good start to the week on Wall Street.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Canada is selecting its next prime minister. On Sunday, Canada's Liberal Party announced Mark Carney was elected to succeed Justin Trudeau, who announced his resignation back in January. Carney is credited with helping to guide the country through the worst of the 2008 financial crisis while acting as the governor of the Bank of Canada. He's expected to be sworn in later this week. In his acceptance speech, Carney criticized President Trump's recent tariffs, saying that he's attacking Canadian workers, businesses, and families. Three people are dead after a medical helicopter crashed in rural Mississippi. The Madison County Sheriff's Office says the chopper went down in a densely wooded area. The helicopter was carrying two University of Mississippi Medical Center employees and a pilot. Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves posted on X that he and his wife are praying for the victims. Not yet known what caused that crash. The FAA is investigating. Not a good day for stocks on Wall Street yesterday. Brian Shook has the details.
The stock market is having its worst start to a presidential term since 2009. According to Dow Jones market data, stocks suffered their weakest first 50 days of a presidency since President Barack Obama's first term. As of Monday, the S&P 500 had fallen 6.4% since President Trump's inauguration on January 20th. I'm Brian Shook.
Dozens of people staged a protest outside of the Tesla showroom in the Back Bay of Boston. Organizers say they held the protest because of the actions of Elon Musk and the Trump administration. Many signs referred to Musk as a fascist, and others urged people not to buy Teslas. The group is planning to hold weekly protests on weekends to continue expressing their displeasure with Musk. A Palestinian student's deportation has been blocked by a judge. Tammy Trujillo has that story.
A federal judge in New York is blocking efforts from the Trump administration to deport Columbia student Mahmoud Khalil. ICE agents took him into custody Saturday night, saying his student visa had been revoked, but his lawyer says he's here legally with a green card. He'd been involved in anti-Israel protests at Columbia University in recent months. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
WBSM Sports.
The Celtics extended their winning streak to 5 games after topping the Jazz 114-108 at the Garden last night. Boston takes on the Oklahoma City Thunder tomorrow at the Garden. The Florida Panthers are visiting the Bruins tonight.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Still chilly as you're heading out the door, but don't worry, we are going to warm up in a hurry today. Temperatures largely in the mid and upper 50s. For the record, our average highs are in the mid 40s this time of year. So once we get to numbers that start with a 5, things are looking good. Enjoy the sunshine and enjoy the mild air. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content with the WBSM app.
And of course, Edie Brickell, that was a big hit for her in 1988. And the spirit of the 80s is alive and well, because in Dartmouth, the Dartmouth High Class of 2026 is excited to present Dartmouth's Finest in the High School Auditorium, 555 Bickerville Road, on Friday, March 14th. That's this coming Friday at 6 p.m. The show will feature 15 contestants from the Class of 2025 who hope to be crowned this year's Dartmouth's Finest. The show has been a tradition for seniors at Dartmouth High for over 30 years, and though the program has evolved through the years, the show at its core will be sure to evoke the nostalgia of the program's past, while at the same time featuring nuance. This year's show will be 80s themed, featuring infusions of pop culture from the era. So who knows, maybe somebody will be performing Edie Brickell's What I Am. Tickets will be on sale at all lunches during the school day until March 14th and cost $15 each. To purchase tickets, bring in cash or write out a check to the Class of 2026. Concessions and raffles will be available at the show, and all proceeds from the event will benefit the Class of 2026. So there you go, an 80s-themed talent show. When I did my school talent show, it wasn't that far out of the 80s. So we were still, there was still new stuff to us. But I remember the school talent. I didn't participate in the talent show because I wasn't going to get up there and perform anything. But what I did do is I ran the lighting and the sound, because I was an AV kid, and worked very hard to kind of, you know, create all these different effects and setups for every different performance. And I think we did a pretty good job because we had really great talented kids doing a bunch of diverse things. So if Dartmouth's Finest is going to be anything close to what my senior talent show was like, I think you're in for a treat. 508-996-0500. That is my number to call in and chime in here. You can also send in those app chat messages and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. In the next hour, we're going to be joined by Rosemary Gill, the Zeitarian Performing Arts Center, to talk about the latest on all the renovations over there, and also to talk a little bit more about these community spaces and how those are going to be utilized. As they're revamping the entirety of the building, they're going to have a lot more space for different things, and we'll get into some more of that. You know, we've talked about what's actually happening in the auditorium itself and in the lobby and things of that nature, but I want to get into some of these other uses, including things that you can do at the Zeitarian. And then also a little bit later on, we're going to be joined by Charlie Murphy of MO Life. We'll talk about that organization and all the great work it's been doing now for decades here in Fairhaven. And it's now expanding. So we'll talk to Charlie coming up in the next hour as well. Until then, we are talking with you at 508-996-0500. We were talking about Council President Burgo's appearance yesterday on the program. If you missed it, you can catch it on the podcast. You can get the podcast from the WBSM app, from WBSM.com, or wherever you get your podcasts from. I like to use a website called listennotes.com, you know, like you're going to listen, but somebody writes you a note, listennotes.com, because I find that it's easy to download there, and they've got a 15-second skip forward, a 10-second skip back. But most of the time, if I'm listening right on the WBSM app. That's really the easiest way for me. But you can check it out really anywhere you get your podcast from. If you use Spotify, if you use Apple Podcasts, if you use Google Play Podcasts, if you use YouTube, the podcasts are all put up on YouTube as well. But you can hear Council President Burgo's appearance. And when we discussed the schism here between Ward 1 Councilor Leo Chiquette and Councilor at Large Linda Morehead, who, by the way, lives in that ward, I was asking him about this. And interestingly, he kind of put it all at the feet of Chris McCarthy. He referred to it as the new McCarthyism, which, as I said yesterday, you know, turnabout's fair play. Chris has nicknames for the counselors and for some of their ideas and policies. And so, hey, and Chris will wear that badge. You know, Chris loves that title. He was pretty proud of it yesterday. So he will wear the badge of McCarthyism, I guess. But the idea was he was saying that Chris wields an influence on the city council that I don't understand how that can be your feeling. He suggested that certain councilors are afraid of Chris McCarthy and therefore, you know, placate him. And he referred to Chris's, you know, he alluded to the idea, I guess. I don't think he did say it directly. That Chris is actually the Ward 1 counselor and not Leo. He basically called Leo Chiquette a puppet of Chris McCarthy. Now, Leo Chiquette, you might, you know, love him or hate him. You might think a lot of different things about him. But at least in my opinion and in my dealings with him, he's his own person. The decisions that he makes are wholly his, whether you agree with him or disagree with him, and he tries to make them based on what he thinks the constituents want. I don't think he's influenced by Chris McCarthy, and the problem is he's not influenced by Linda Morehead either. So I think what happened is, again, a mischaracterization of what this longevity pay is. Council President Burgo explained to us yesterday that this is something that was in the budget. So let me break this down, okay? For everybody that still wants to call it a pay raise, it's not a pay raise. A pay raise would be something that is a sustainable increase in your pay over time, a sustained increase in your pay over time. So if I get a pay raise, I'm getting, say, $50 more a week every week. That's a pay raise. What this is it's a stipend. It's a one-time payment that they receive the second paycheck. So basically the last paycheck of the year, of December, of the calendar year. And the most that a person can get, and there's only one counselor that gets this maximum amount, is $850. One time each year, $850. It is a stipend. The issue here isn't whether or not that belongs in the counselor's pay. You can argue that and discuss it all you want, but you should have done that in 1992 when it went on the books. The issue here is that it was in the budget for last year, but the counselors never received it. It was about $5,000. Where did that $5,000 go? That's what the motion was about, trying to find what happened to that $5,000. They decided to take it off the agenda, according to Council President Burgo, because they said, we can just deal with that during budget season. We don't have to worry about it now. And so that's been used to, you know, kind of parallel what's been going on in Everett. And they're two completely different things. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Ken. Billy Saffioli.
How you doing?
How you doing?
All right. What's on your mind?
What's on my mind? You just said about Berger said that the people are afraid of Chris McCarthy.
I believe he said that the counselors that there are certain counselors who are alluding to Leo Chiquette.
Okay, let's call a spade a spade, okay? Let's say this. They've used it themselves out there, okay? See, there's also proof, and it's happened a million times, that the counselors are afraid of Linda Morad. And it's a worse thing because she's been on tape criticizing her own family.
I asked Council President Burgo directly if the council, you know, is in fear of Linda Morad, and he characterized it as if she was a male, people would be, you know, commending her for strong leadership.
Okay, now let's stop. If she was a male, you know, like the old saying, if the queen had, you know what, she'd be king. Come on, it's on paper, it's on record, it's on tape, it's on everything. She's criticized everybody in her family. Now all of a sudden, Chris is the bad guy here for criticizing the city council, and the city council is afraid of Chris now. I've been saying this for ages about Linda Morad, and I haven't been wrong. Then there's proof. So I don't want to hear they're afraid of Chris McCarthy. They just don't like it. And let me ask you a question. All those city councilors, they say things. Do they ever go through with it? For example, what happened with Brian Gomes defending himself after he threw everybody under the bus and he threw Barry Richards under the bus because he didn't give him the time of day?
To be honest with you, I haven't followed up on that, so I don't know.
You haven't followed up, but he said he wants to come and clear his name. Where is he? So nobody's picking up. Don't say Chris McCarthy, that city councilors are afraid of City McCarthy. Linda Morad, it's only that she has called people, you know, the A word, everything. It's on tape. They can't. She picked on Maria Giesta. She picked on Naomi Carney. She picked on everybody. So don't say that city council, Brooke is going to say that people, the city councilors are afraid of Chris McCarthy. What do you think? See, he did everything yesterday on your thing, calling everybody names. It's like a little puppet. Like I said, you know, they said he's like a puppet with strings. Well, I'm going to take a shot at somebody, okay? You ready? Strings can't hold Burgo. You need cables.
No, come on. We're not going that route.
Everybody think, but don't let them fool you about Chris McCarthy. You know, there's things that happens, but they don't live in a glass house. And it's on record, and everybody's got it on the tape and everything. Now, Linda Morad, they're afraid of her. The family. Who attacks people? It's a family. Who attacks the family?
I mean, if it's a family, how can you call somebody else in your family a sleaze?
That's right. That's what I'm trying to tell you. So don't say that Burgo's right. Now he's calling McCarthy. And he's got every right in the world to call McCarthy names. Okay? I agree with it. Because McCarthy, if you're going to dish it, you got to have big shoulders. And I've been saying this. People out there, you should know. I got thrown out of New Bedford because of all that. Because I opened my mouth to defend the little people that don't have no things. So what you said about people being afraid of McCarthy is, you know what? I'm trying to keep my mouth
shut. I'm not saying it. I'm just repeating what Council President Burgo said.
I know that, but then see, there's a perfect example talking out of your keister because your mouth knows better. He doesn't have all the facts either. Everything he did yesterday, he was programmed by Linda Morad to do it, to take shots at Leo Chiquette, to take shots at everybody. She's the maestro of that. And people can't see that for all these years. People out there, you guys are blind.
All right.
There's proof. Just look at the archives.
I'm gonna hold you there because I got to take a break, but thank you for the call.
No problem.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
All right, I got to take this break, but we can take some more calls before we run out of time in this hour, and we'll still be able to take some calls next hour. I've just got a couple of guests that will join us, but I got to take this break right here. We'll be back in a few moments. That's the great thing about talk radio is you can come on and speak your point of view, and it doesn't have to be sane. In fact, the less sane it is, the more entertaining. So 508-996-0500, and we will continue talking about this. I'm sure Chris will have a lot to say about it. So he was doing some things yesterday on his way here, so he didn't get to hear all of Council President Burgos' appearance with me, but he was going to listen to it in its entirety, and I'm sure he'll have a lot to say about it today when he comes in, and he'll be here at 9 a.m. for South Coast Now. You can catch it every weekday from 9 to noon. And, of course, on podcast if you don't get a chance to hear it all in its entirety. And I'm glad that Mayor Mitchell is getting some needed time off, but I kind of wish he was here this week because I'd love to hear his take on what's going on with the council. I mean, he got into it a little bit with Chris last week, which you can also hear on the podcast, but I think things are going to get pretty interesting. But I can't get over the idea that you think that Chris McCarthy is influencing the city council. I mean, I love the idea of thinking. See, every time that I love when Council President Burgo comes in and gives the radio station so much credit. You know, a couple of weeks ago, he told us how he found out about the police chief retiring from WBSM. Now WBSM has the influence over city councilors. I love it. It's not reality, but if that's the perception, just makes us look better, right? We're going to start using that as our pitch to advertisers. We're going to go out to new potential advertisers and say, you want to advertise on the station that completely controls the New Bedford City Council? Then sign up with WBSM. Because it's not plausible. As I said to Council President Burgo yesterday, most of the people that are calling up and complaining about the city council don't even live in New Bedford. They live in Fairhaven, Dartmouth, Acushnet, Freetown, Fall River. And most of the people who are actually voting, the people who bother to take the time to actually go out and vote, which a lot of our audience does, they're very civic-minded people. But they've done their research. They're not just going in there and checking off a ballot based on what they heard the guy on the radio say. It's kind of insulting to the voters to have them think that a radio station could control. I mean, you know, you can keep having that perception. I like it. It makes us look way more important than we are, but it's just talk radio, man. And again, I don't think Leo Chiquette is afraid of anybody, and that's a real problem here, is that he's not afraid of Linda Morad, and he's not afraid to butt heads with her, and that's what's happening. Anyway, I got to take one final break of this hour. We will be right back.